This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. Let's talk some NFC East football with former defensive lineman for both the Redskins and the Giants, A.J. Francis, joining us on the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. A.J., Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm good, but how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the time. I want to start in New York with what people are calling the fire sale with the Giants and the trading of Eli Apple yesterday, the trading of Snacks Harrison today. Well, what's your take on what the Giants are doing? Do you like it, or is it too little too late for where the team is right now?
I think Gettleman's really just trying to, I think, send a message and, like, let everyone know that it's his team. It's kind of what he did in the preseason. It's kind of the reason that I'm not there. Like, if you watch the tape, there's really no reason that I'm not there, but because I wasn't one of the guys that he personally, like, saw to make sure that they brought in, he didn't view me as a viable option. And that's what he's doing with a lot of people now. I mean, I think he's getting rid of Snacks based off of strictly knowing that they probably won't be able to re-sign Snacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting rid of Eli Apple because they don't think that he's performing up to the standard that they expect from him yet. Like, for example, on that play that won the game on Monday for Atlanta, I mean, Eli was in great coverage. It was a great ball, a great catch, but, like, when they already have thoughts about you, the particulars don't matter.
Mm-hmm. What was the feeling? Did you get a sense, you know, about a changing of culture, that anybody that was tied to the old GM and the old staff could have been expendable or at least, you know, not a future piece for the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what they're doing. I mean, he's trying to set up his own, I guess, regime in New York. And a lot of GMs do that, a lot of coaches do that. That's not anything new. The problem is that comes is, like, a lot of GMs can do this by purging the roster when the team's doing bad, and they can say, well, this isn't my team, these aren't my guys, so that's why I'm getting rid of them, blah, 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 blah. The mm-hmm. only problem is that backs you into a hole when a year from now, 2 years from now, everyone on the roster is your guy. And if the team is not performing then whose fault is it? It can't be on the players. I mean, it will. That's who they'll say it's on, and they'll just trade people and get rid of them because that's just how the NFL works. But logistically speaking, that's not how that should work.
Right. And you know, it's interesting to look at where the Giants are at the quarterback position because – doesn't it feel like they should have been doing this last year? It's a year too late if they were going to start a, quote, fire sale, that Eli Manning's benching, which was bungled so brutally last year, that should have been kind of the starting point for the team, not everybody else right now?
Yeah, and the craziest part is that, like, when you have, like, Eli's a great guy, and he's just been underperforming. And when you have someone of that caliber who's done so much for the organization, it's really hard to get rid of that person. But what should have happened, if they wanted to do this, they should have got rid of Eli last offseason because they would have been able to get a lot more for him than they will now, if
right.
they can get anything for him now. Now it's looking like Eli would just either retire or get released. Like, those are the two options. But a year ago, after the Week 17 win against D.C., that I was playing in that game on D.C., mm-hmm. and it was -1 degrees, and it was miserable. After that game, they could have got something really good for Eli. But, like, now, it's looking like too little too late.
Yeah, and they didn't draft a quarterback of the future either, and that's been a lot of Giants fans are going to be talking about that for a long time with Saquon Barkley coming in with the second
pick
overall.
They drafted Kyle Lauletta, but I don't think that he's quarterback for the future, so that is true.
Yeah, and how do you feel about taking a running back that high? I mean, it's a spot where we've seen it a couple of times recently, but overall there's been this theory that taking a running back that highly is not the best move.
Saquon's special. I mean, Saquon should have honestly been taken #1 overall. Yeah. I will go out on a limb and say that if Saquon Barkley's not the best running back in the NFL right now, he's top three. I mean,
wow.
he's a special talent. He does things that other people can't do. Like, there's not a single running back on planet Earth right now, including Todd Gurley, including David Johnson, whoever you want to throw in there, Le'Veon Bell, none of them have ever hurdled three defenders in one play on his way to a 10-yard game. Like, no one's ever done anything like that. Mm-hmm. Saquon did that, and it looked so casual that it didn't. You don't realize that he's hurdling these guys. It just looks like he's stepping over them. Until you watch it in slow motion, you realize, oh, he's just subtly hurdling over defender after defender after defender.
Right.
He's special. If there's anybody you're going to spend a top draft pick on as a running back, it should be Saquon Barkley.
AJ, knowing the Giants that you, the way you do, when you hear that Odell Beckham Jr. and John Mara are having a meeting and the Mara family is trying to figure out what's going on with a player they just gave $100 million to, and yet there are some in the New York area, New York media, who are really frustrated with Odell Beckham Jr.'s comments and behavior. How do you feel like this is going between the Giants, the ownership, and Odell Beckham Jr.?
I don't understand what the problem is. It's like you knew who Odell was when you signed him to this contract. You don't give somebody $100 million without knowing who they are. Like, the reason you signed him is because he's an elite talent at wide receiver. And would anyone watching the game say Odell is not performing up to the standard? Is he dropping a lot of balls, or is he messing up his routes, or is he not a factor for a completely different reason? It's because of the offense is struggling as a whole, not because of him per se. So when you take that into account, I don't understand why you would go out of your way to basically in the media run down your biggest and best star in order to, I don't know, make him shut up, I guess. But, like, do you, like, as a man, would you want to give somebody if you can give somebody $100 million, do you never want to hear what their opinion is?
Okay, but you will admit, though, that the interview he gave with a rapper on his left and ESPN in front of him with the cameras, and you're talking about the play calling and a first-year head coach and a quarterback on his last legs, that doesn't really help you win football games, though, right?
I mean, no. Yeah, it doesn't stop you from winning football games either. Like, that's the most overblown thing there is in sports. What he says in an interview doesn't change the fact that on Sunday, somebody's got to cover him man-to-man. So, like, whatever you say in the interviews and whatever you talk about all there, and you can throw whoever you want under the bus, but on Sunday, when the lights are on and your helmet's strapped up and your shoes are tied tight, there's a man in front of you whose job is to stop you, and if you're a dog, which Odell is, he won't be able to as long as, you know, the offense is working as a whole. And in no way, the thing that was crazy to me is, like, do the Giants get better if Odell doesn't play? No.
Right.
So then why are you worried about what he's doing that has nothing to do with football on the field? Is he still the best player on the team? Yes. So what is the issue? I don't – it's just so overthought, the whole – there's a lot of situations like this that – this is a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal because everyone else is making it a big deal. No one in the locker room, everyone in the locker room knows Odell is the best player on the team.
Mm.
And they know that the team is better because Odell is on it. So, like, no one really cares about what he's doing as long as he's coming to the field performing. And he's not putting up numbers now, but it's not really on him.
So the Giants trade Snack Harrison. They traded Eli Apple. They waived Eric Flowers 2 weeks ago. If you're in that locker room right now as a Giants player, what are you thinking? Are you waiting for the team to call your agent and tell you that you're next?
If you're not, I mean, honestly, yes. At this point, when your team gets to this record point, like, what, I think they're 1-5?
1-6, yeah.
1-6. When you get to this point, and nobody's safe. I mean, if they don't win within the next couple of weeks, Eli won't be starting. Like, he'll probably get his job back at the end of the season because they're going to run through the young quarterbacks, and I don't think that they have what it takes to be sustained starters in the NFL. Like, Eli will probably get the job back then. But, I mean, in reality, ain't nobody's got this. Not Eli's, not Dallin Tomlinson, even though – I mean, nothing is his fault. Like, not Kerry Wynn, he is not his fault how the team is performing. But none of that matters. When a team is doing bad, a GM just wants to make a statement, because to the GM's players aren't people; they're expenditures,
pieces on chessboard.
Yeah.
to move around. Yeah. Interesting stuff. AJ, awesome stuff. Really appreciate it. Love having you on. Let's do it again soon, all right?
All right, for sure.
That is AJ Francis, former Giants defensive lineman, former defensive lineman with the Redskins. We ran out of time, so I couldn't get the Redskins conversation in, but some really interesting and good stuff during that interview. First, saying, hey, look, this is all about Dave Gettleman, and this is Dave Gettleman coming in, and this is Dave Gettleman doing everything that Dave Gettleman wants to do. As he just said, the GM looks at these guys as pieces on a chessboard, and that everybody right now should be looking over their shoulder as to who is going to be next when you're 1-6. And he called Saquon Barkley right now a top three running back in the NFL, which is really interesting given we've seen, I mean, where do you put him numbers-wise? He's not really there. Talent-wise, though, according to a guy who was with the Giants last year, says, look, Saquon Barkley, during training camp this year, that Saquon Barkley is a top three running back in the NFL. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, let's get to Rondo versus Chris Paul. Comments by Rondo, responded to by Chris Paul. The fight now turning verbal after Spitgate from Saturday. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.